You are listening to the Hill City Church Podcast. Our mission is to become and make disciples who walk with God, connect with people, and impact the world. Morning, church. My name is Josh. I'm the lead pastor here at Hill City Church. So good to be with you as we continue our teaching series, Run the Race. Anyone do the race to Roby Creek yesterday? Anyone? Hey, there we go, down in the front row. There we go. Still made it up the stairs to church. That's good. If you have been here, maybe you've been following along with this series, I just got back actually a day ago from running the Boston Marathon last week. Here's a picture. That's me in the sunglasses, my buddy Ryan and my brother Andrew, and just wanted to say thank you for your support. I had so many people, whether it's on social media or even reaching out to like my work email, sending me just like, hey, so excited for you, praying for you. And I can just tell you, like, even during the race, I felt the support of this church community, genuinely. And it's rare that kind of everything comes together, but my brother and I both ran personal bests in the marathon at Boston. And so it was a great time, and super excited to be back. And I'm happy to say, 6 days later, I'm still very sore, but I'm walking somewhat normal now. So today we are covering this topic. I'm so excited for our teaching today. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have a Bible, we're going to be there in just a few minutes. You can go ahead and turn in your teaching. That's going to be our teaching text for today. But I want to start with this question. When it comes to spirituality, are you tired of trying really hard to grow closer to God, but feel like you're not getting anywhere? I know many people experience this at one point or another. Maybe for you, you're in that point right now where you feel like, I've been going to church, I've been doing, you know, some of the kind of Christian things, but I'm just not quite seeing the fruit that I hope to see. And this is really, you know, in this metaphor that we're looking at, if following Jesus is like running a race, specifically a long-distance race, not a sprint, but more like a marathon, this is something that many people experience in their discipleship to Christ. I mean, think about all the fitness goals, right? That's kind of like the classic New Year's resolution is, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to bench press however much. And it only takes a few weeks into the new year for many people to completely abandon those goals. And that's because they're trying really hard, but then every morning they get up and they look in the mirror and they're like, I don't know, do I look any different to you? Right? Where there's this idea of like, I'm putting forth the effort, I'm hitting the gym, I'm going out, I'm hitting the miles, and it's a lot of effort and it's a lot of energy, but the results just seem like they're not showing up. And not only is this a common phenomenon when it comes to physical fitness, I've encountered this myself, and I know so many followers of Jesus have encountered this as well. I feel like I've been trying really hard, but I'm not quite seeing the results. I'm still struggling with that sin. I'm still struggling with that temptation. I still, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, I read about the fruit of the Spirit, but patience is really difficult for me, you know? And so today we're going to be diving into how can we start to see some more results. And we're going to be looking at a key resource that we actually have in our resource area. It's called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. We have copies available in our resource area. I'm going to be pulling some quotes from that. But one of the things that John Mark Comer highlights is these three losing strategies that many Christians try these three strategies, and they're just not working. And maybe you can relate to one of these three. The first losing strategy is willpower. Willpower is just, I'm gonna try really hard. I'm going to like flex my spiritual muscles, and I'm going to defeat that sin. I'm going to grow love, or I'm going to grow kindness, or I'm going to grow patience in my life. And we try that, and there's really something good about each one of these losing strategies, but they're not quite sufficient. So the good of this is that discipleship to Jesus does require willpower, doesn't it? Like, you have to actually put forth some effort and energy when it, like, you have to open your Bible and read it. You have to spend that time in prayer. So there, it does require some energy and effort and willpower. And yet the problem is willpower is a finite resource. Do you know what I mean by that? It means you only have so much of it. It's expendable. And once you're out of it, you're out of it. And that is not sufficient to defeat sin or the spiritual forces of darkness that wage war against your soul. And so that's the first losing strategy. The second losing strategy is more Bible study, okay? It's this kind of like this knowledge base. If I read the Bible more, and then I read it even more, and then even more, then I'm going to look more like Christ. Now, is there good to reading the Bible? Obviously, I don't want you to hear me like telling you like, yeah, stop reading the Bible. It doesn't work. But we need God's word. Transformation happens through the renewing of our minds, right? And Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's a vital aspect of spiritual formation, and yet, here's the problem. Knowing something is different than doing something, true? And doing something is even different from the end goal, which is actually becoming someone. And so for many people, and you see this all the time, many people have actually even read the Bible and know biblical facts very well. And yet, information is different from transformation. And so it's not Bible knowledge alone that leads to transformation. And the third losing strategy is what John Mark calls the zap from heaven. Anyone ever seen The Matrix? Right? It's kind of like that, where it's just like this, you know, I don't know how to do something, and they're just going to upload through the Matrix, you know, they're going to upload it, and I'll all of a sudden be able to do it. And the good part of this is we need the Holy Spirit to change us. We need to admit that. That following Jesus, becoming more Christ-like, and this is really important caveat for today, is not just an individual thing that you're trying to look like Jesus. It's actually a work of God in your life, right? But the problem with this is that transformation takes time. And I think we kind of confuse the miracles that we see Jesus do in the New Testament, which take place in a moment. He turns water to wine in a moment. And that's a miracle, not only because it was water, but because it happened instantaneously. You know, he heals a blind person. He says, open your eyes, and now they can see. He heals it. Does that make sense? These are these momentary, and we kind of expect our formation into Christ-likeness to happen instantaneously. Like you can somehow microwave Christianity. Like there's like a fast track, and the reality is, this is a lifelong endeavor of following Jesus, and step by step, we're going to experience transformation. And so if those three strategies alone, I hope you hear there's good in those, but there's some insufficiencies in those. If those three strategies are not the way, how then do we grow? Do you want to learn how to get some results? All right, let's open our teaching text. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll start in verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself. Who's doing this? You are. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So here's the answer, okay? The answer is training. You want to see some results? We got to train. Physical health, the Apostle Paul writes to his young apprentice, Timothy, and he admits it is important. And we just have to know, like, it is important. Like, exercise, it's a good thing, right? Because the reality is our bodies, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 6, are temples of the Holy Spirit. And you got to take care of the temple, don't you? Right? And the more that we take care of our physical bodies, the more ministry we can have, right? You know, and like we'll have longevity and all that sort of stuff, the more energy we'll be able to have to share our faith and to make a difference for God's kingdom. However, while physical health is important, there's a limit to that importance and significance. Because not even Arnold Schwarzenegger will take all of his muscles into eternity. And for many people, if you live long enough, you'll recognize you may not even take that body, that physical body, that fitness, that physique that you have, even to your grave, that we understand and we recognize the limits, that our bodies in this current age will begin to decay. They will begin to fail us. And so as much as I love running, I recognize it's not the point of life. Physical fitness is not the point of life. But what Paul highlights here, he says godliness is of benefit, not just in this life, but also in the age to come. So what is godliness? Godliness, very simply, if you want a definition, it means living a godly life. Some other biblical words that might be synonyms for godliness or words like righteousness or holiness. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, it's not the one who says, Lord, Lord, it's only the one who does the will of his Father in heaven. That person is in the kingdom of God. So doing God's will, that's another way that you could define the word godliness. And godliness is of value both right now and in eternity. Because godliness, becoming a godly person, is going to have a greater impact for the kingdom. You're going to be able to have a greater impact for the kingdom and even invite more. You're going to be able to see more and more people. You want to make an impact for God's kingdom. You want people to come to Christ. Live a godly life. You want to be a church that's on mission and making a difference for God's kingdom. Be a godly church. Cultivate a godly community. But also, you are becoming the person that you will become in fullness one day in eternity. You're getting a head start on becoming the person that God has made you to be right here and right now. So there's a value, not just, I'm just going to wait to get to heaven and be totally free from sin one day. You're going to experience, you're going to taste heaven now if you live a godly life now. But what the Apostle Paul says is this is not something that just happens to you. In some ways, we recognize that if you've been set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he has declared you righteous. Amen? He's made you righteous. That means that you're no longer guilty, you're forgiven for your sins, you are reconciled to God. And that is the work that God does in you by the power of the gospel through the work Jesus did, he accomplished on your behalf. And that's great, but we can't mix up that kind of righteousness, the righteousness that's declared over your life, and becoming a righteous person day after day after day in the journey following Jesus. It's a process called sanctification. And so there is a very real sense, and you are righteous now, but you're still a righteous work in progress. And you have to learn to live the person that Christ has already made you to be as a new creation in him. Does that make sense? And so that's why this idea of discipleship or spiritual formation is not just something that happens to you passively and you're just like, well, it's already happening to me, I guess, somehow. It's this thing that Paul says you've got to train yourself. So who's responsible? You've got to be responsible for training yourself for godliness. The Greek word for train is gymnazo. It's where we get our English word gymnasium. You got to hit the spiritual gym. It can be defined as exercise, train, or practice. This is a word that smells like sweat. Okay? What do you like? Just it's in your mind. Like when you go into a gym, you know you're in a gym. Okay? You smell maybe the chlorine from the pool. You smell the sweat. You smell the disinfectant that they use on the machines. This word gymnazo, it smells like that. Okay? It's a hard working kind of word. It's not a just go to church forever and you'll become more godly. It's you've got to learn to train yourself, because how you race, here's a very important principle from the running world. How you race is a reflection of how you train. And that is true in our lives following Jesus as well. See, I ran 26.2 miles in Boston faster than I've ever run that distance before. It's not my first rodeo. It wasn't my first race. But that personal record is a reflection. That 26.2-mile race is a reflection of running over 1,000 miles over the past 18 weeks and intentionally training for those 2 hours and 47 minutes. Okay? Does that make sense? So how you race, it's not an accident. It's like, well, I got, you know, it's like, I had a great race. I got lucky. Got lucky out there. It's not like, well, how'd you race? I tried really hard. I just was like, I didn't train at all, but I was just like, oh, I hope I do great, right? Does that make sense? it's not like I just read a lot of books about running races and I had the mental edge, you know? There's this sense in which how you race is a direct reflection of how you, somebody say, how you train. And we should not expect it to be different in our walk with Christ. You want to race well, you want to run well, we have to learn to train ourselves for godliness. So here's what I want to give you today. You like taking notes? Top six tips, training tips for growing in godliness, okay? If you like taking notes, write a list, one to six. I want to give you my top six tips for training in godliness. Tip number one, start where you're at. You've got to start where you are. This is a classic training mistake that people make where they get really excited. You know, there's those apps like Couch to 5K, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that's great because what those things do, those plans do, is they actually hold you back. You get out there and you want to just start going, and then this is the classic training mistake, is I'm going to do too much too soon, okay? And so when it comes to following Jesus, the same principle applies. I'll tell you a story. 16 years ago, I was in high school, and I was going to go into my senior year, and I had a goal. I wanted to be one of the top 10 runners in the state of Alaska for cross country. That was my goal, and I was hitting it hard. I was running, and I was like, one of the things that's going to make me great is I'm going to do a high mileage week. And I tried to do 100 miles in 1 week, and I made it 3 days in, and I had logged 50 miles in the first 3 days because I wanted to get a head start, you know. And I fractured my foot. On the third day, I got a stress fracture in my foot. And I went into my senior year cross country slower than when I was a freshman in high school. Because that one mistake, that's a training mistake, right? I wasn't, you know, and I've been a runner for years. But I was doing too much too soon, and I did not have an accurate picture of where I was at. Does that make sense? And I believe that's a problem when it comes to followers of Jesus. We just honestly don't know where we're at. Well, I'm happy to say in this training block, this is 16 years later, I finally, after 16 years, built up my mileage slowly, month over month. I actually accomplished the 100-mile training week in this training block for the Boston Marathon. And that was an incredible benefit on race day. But it took me years to build up that kind of endurance, to do that safely, to do that where you're not burning out and you're not getting injured. We need to take steps of faith that are appropriate for our stage of discipleship. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. The author of Hebrews is speaking to the church that where they're at. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, those who have their powers of discernment trained, notice that language, it's the same exact word, gumnazo, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, this is kind of a slam. It's not like you should still be drinking milk as a 35-year-old or 40-year-old or whatever. The goal is to grow. The author of Hebrews is saying, yeah, you need what's appropriate for you. You need something from God's word that you can chew on, not that you're going to choke on, right? So you need milk now, but there's other people who they're eating solid food, you know? They've grown to the point where they're actually kind of learning discernment through practice, through training. And so I just want to ask you this question. Where are you at? We have these five stages we talk about all the time, these five stages of discipleship. And I want you to actually identify today, and it doesn't do you any good to be dishonest. It doesn't, like, this is just for you, okay? It doesn't do you any good to try to train to like a stage where you're not at. And there's five different stages. Some of you might be pre-faith today. This just means you don't yet have a faith in Jesus. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I want you to hear this crystal clear from me. Today can be that day for you. You can put your faith in Jesus today if you're willing to surrender your life to Him. But for you, what that looks like for you is like, here's something you could do. Go to church every Sunday. Because here's what's going to happen in church. You're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ every week. And I want to invite you back. You might read the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a great step. You're going to read the story of Christ. You're going to learn what he did. Beginning to pray. Those are things, that's starting where you're at. For some of you, you're new to the faith. You really need community. especially you're like fresh out of the waters about, we all need community, but you're fresh out of the waters of baptism, you really need to get into a life group. Because you need other believers. That's a good training step for you. People who can surround you, support you. If you're young in the faith, maybe there's areas you still need to grow. Perhaps for you, you need to start serving. You need to start pouring out. You need to start learning that this is about the mission of God. It's not just about me individually. It's about God's kingdom coming and his will being done. You're growing in the faith. You need to start learning how to disciple other people, right? Does that make sense? And so, like, train. Start where you're at, but train specifically to where you are in your stage of discipleship. Got it? Anybody over here got it? All right. We got the tired crew over here. Okay. Tip number two, follow a training plan. Benjamin Franklin is attributed to this famous saying, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. The reality is it's very, very important. If you want to actually improve, that you don't just, like, let's say with running, you don't just show up and you're like, well, what am I doing today? I don't know. I guess I'll just see how I feel. I'm just going to start running, and then when I'm tired, I'm going to stop running. You're probably going to stop way too soon. I'm what's called a self-coached runner. What that means is, you know, when I was in junior high and high school, I had a coach, and the coach determines the training plan. You show up, and you, like, if you have a coach, you don't need to, like, you don't need to plan what you're going to do, because your coach will tell you what to do. Well, now that I'm a grown-up, I have to do all that myself, right? And so when I first started training for marathons, I found, like, a PDF online, and I downloaded it, and I followed it to a T, and now my training plan lives in here. This is my journal, and I actually write out my training plan, okay? This is the training plan that I use to train for the Boston Marathon. And I write out, these are the workouts I'm going to do. This is my long run. This is my totally weekly mileage. And I write the plan in ink, and then I write what I actually did in pencil, okay? And there's some X's on here. The X means I didn't do what I planned to do. There's a lot of check marks on here. The check marks is I executed the workout exactly. You're like, want to see that. You want to see this, don't you? The check marks are like, I did exactly what I wanted, and at the end of the week, I write, like, this was my total mileage for the week, and this is 18 weeks worth of my plan, because improvement does not happen without a plan. You're not going to see progress if you don't have a plan, because there's intentional steps. Now, I didn't follow this plan perfectly, and every single week, I made some adjustments. Like, there was a week where I was, like, super sick, and I couldn't follow this plan. And so I ran like a third of what I was supposed to run that week because I was like sleeping in bed all day, that sort of stuff. But the reality is the same principle applies to our walk with Christ. Too many Christians are running aimlessly. They're getting out there in their walk with God and they're like, what am I even like? I know I'm supposed to read the Bible, but they like you show up to your time, your quiet time, and you don't even have a plan for what you're reading that day. Or your prayer life, is there intentionality to your prayer life? Or have you scheduled times to actually pray? And if it's just left to us, well, I'll just, you know, do whatever practices I feel like doing that day, there's going to be blind spots, there's going to be pitfalls, there's going to be shortcomings when it comes to this holistic approach to training. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. So I do not run aimlessly. You want to talk about an intentional guy? Talk about the Apostle Paul. He's like, I'm not running aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Like, he's mixing metaphors here, but it's like, imagine like a prize fighter, and they're just like, oh, yeah, and they're just like, they're not doing anything. They're just kind of wasting their effort. He says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We can learn from the Apostle Paul. Don't run aimlessly. And so what is a training plan when it comes to your walk with Christ? It's a thing called a rule of life, okay? We've talked about this before. If you want more information, we did, I think, like an 8-week series a couple years ago on a rule. Anyone here for that? We did a rule of life teaching series. Anyways, it's on YouTube. You can go back, you can watch it. A rule of life is an outer framework for inner growth. Essentially, what a rule of life is, it's just your mixture of spiritual disciplines, things that you're committed to doing that are going to foster growth. Here's what Pete Scazzaro says about a rule of life. He says, it includes our unique combination of spiritual practices that provide structure and direction for us to intentionally pay attention and remember God in everything we do. The goal, so here's the goal of having a rule of life, to be with God and love him in everything that we do. So this was my training plan, okay? This is my spiritual training plan. It's called my rule of life. And in fact, if you want to go online, there's a rule of life builder that I actually use for this. I keep this kind of stuff usually in a journal as well, but I use this rule of life builder. It's from practicingtheway.org. You can right now, if you want to get out your phone and scan that QR code, it takes you to this rule of life builder. It's pretty cool. It only took me about 10 minutes to go on there and type out these are the things that I'm going to do. This is my unique combination. I'm not going to like send you this and be like, do all these things, because you're not who? You're not me. You need to decide on things ahead of time intentionally. And I know for some of you, you look at that word rule and you're like, I'm not really a rules person, right? But the reality is, the goal is to be with God and love him in everything that we do, intentionally. And so I would just invite you to go on there. This Rule of Life Builder, it's just an online tool, will take you through 9 different disciplines: Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. That's not an exhaustive list, but I'll tell you what, that's a pretty good start. If you were to go through those 9 different categories and say, what am I going to do to Sabbath well? How am I going to be more generous? What is prayer going to look like? What is witnessing to others, that sharing your faith to others, look like? And again, you want to start where you're at, but I would encourage you to do that. And if you're like, okay, I don't even know, I want more information about a rule, you can listen to my teaching series. Also, you can read this book, Practicing the Way. And really, that's kind of like what this book is communicating how to do, how to build a rule of life. All right, tip number 3, focus on consistency. Somebody say consistency. Consistency, I would argue, is the absolute most important aspect of training. It's not the things that you do occasionally, it's the things that you do consistently that will actually make a difference. We've got to learn on consistency. In Philippians 4:9, this is what Paul says. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice these things. When it comes to following Christ, it takes practice, right? It takes practice. It's not just like, I heard a great sermon, so now I'm good at that thing. I think that's kind of what we've been counting on in American Christian culture, haven't we? Hear enough good sermons, and eventually you'll be good at these things. It's like, that's not how it works. We've got to practice consistently. We are 24/7 Christians, amen? And so it's not the 1 hour on a Sunday that's going to make a difference. It's not the occasional. Imagine if I only ran once a week. I would not be prepared for a marathon, right? You've got to learn to do these things consistently in your life. In running, it's better to exercise probably for 15, 20 minutes a day than to try to make it up one day a week and do 3 hours, right? You've got to just consistently hit it. Because what we want to avoid being is we want to avoid being fair-weather Christians. Do you know what a fair-weather athlete is? It's somebody they like the idea, the concept of, I want to be a runner. And then they check it outside and like, it's a little windy today. Tomorrow. I'll be a runner tomorrow. And then tomorrow rolls around and it's like perfect weather. And you look outside, it's like too sunny today though. I know it's nice, but it's like too nice. And that's a fair weather. That's what it means to be a fair weather athlete. It's you only do it when the conditions are perfect, right? And this is a misconception about people who enjoy running, because I'm honest about this. I enjoy running. And I'll tell you this. I do not enjoy every run that I go on. And if I only ran when the conditions were perfect, like the last 18 weeks, there were so many times in Boise, unpredictable weather, right? When I look outside, I'm like, today is going to be a terrible run. But I lace up the shoes and I get outside, right? That's what it means to train yourself. That's what it means to have consistency, because you recognize at the starting line, you're going to want to have ran those miles. Show up. And this is the same thing. There's going to be days where you've made a commitment, well, I'm going to go to church. And you're like, but the weather's pretty nice outside. It's too nice to go to church today. There's going to be days when you committed to waking up early and praying. You're like, well, I went to bed too late last night. Again, this is not about guilt and shame. It's not about earning like extra gold stars in heaven. This is about, do you want to grow? Do you want to experience all that God has offered for you? A life of godliness. This is what this is about for you. And if you want to see results, you've got to start seeing consistency in your spiritual disciplines. This is why starting where you're at is so incredibly important. Because if you try to be overly ambitious, especially if you're building a rule of life, you're committing to certain spiritual practices, you won't be able to stay consistent at those things if they're too much for where you're at. But over time, you're going to be able to see more and more growth. All right, training tip number four, adjust your lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you must adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Good training is not just about the physical exercises that you do. It's also about sleeping enough hours. It's also about eating the right foods. It's also about the psychology and having a good relationship to, you know, in your mind to what you're doing. We understand this. We got to take, if you want to see improvements, you got to take a holistic approach to training. And here's a classic example that many people, I think this is like the New Year's resolution one, where, that many people have. Well, I started exercising. I started going for walks, or I started jogging, and I also started like eating way worse. Because I felt justified because I'm exercising, and I'm like, well, I can eat more junk food now, right? And then you actually, looks like you're going backwards in progress than forwards. Does that make sense? And you can't out-train, you can't out-exercise the rest of your lifestyle decisions when it comes to fitness. The same is true in our walk with Christ. I think we try to do that. Well, I've been a churchgoer for 89 years. Well, are you using that as an excuse to never consistently pursue some of the other spiritual practices? Or I do a lot of really good quiet times. I never have to be in Christian community. You see that? I've heard it both ways, by the way, where people are almost using, I do this one thing really, really well, so that's an excuse for why I don't have to adjust the rest of my lifestyle. And when it comes to following Jesus, we have a saying here at Hill City Church, we follow Jesus with everything. Everything. What is everything? It's everything, right? It's your entire life commitment. And the reason we are so committed to that is because Jesus was upfront and honest with the cost of discipleship. Here's just two passages. Luke chapter 14, 27. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Take up your cross idea. And then a little bit later, at the end of that teaching passage, he says this. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. What's Jesus asking for? He's asking for an everything kind of commitment from you. He wants us to follow him with everything. And so discipleship to Jesus is not about making minor tweaks to your life. It's about wholehearted surrender. Jesus, you have all of me. And now, it's about integrating Christ into the rest of your life. He doesn't get a slice of the pie, he gets the whole thing. True? And so this is what John Mark Comer has to say about this. He says this, there are no accidental saints. You can't just slip up your hand at the end of a sermon. It's a high bar of entry. It will require you to I love this phrasing, okay? It will require you to reorder your entire life around following Jesus as your undisputed top priority, over your job, your money, your reputation, over everything. I love that. That's what I'm talking about here. It's got to be, following Jesus has got to be the absolute, undisputed, most important thing in your life. And everything else bows to that. Everything else, your schedule, your finances, your relationships, the way you make decisions, your hobbies, your entertainment, the trips you go on, every single aspect of our life, that's godliness. Everything is reordered around the one sole pursuit of following Jesus. That's what we're talking about, adjusting your lifestyle. And maybe you know people like that with fitness, where it's like their entire identity. For us, Following Jesus is our entire identity. Being a child of God, it's everything for us. It's our entire identity. And so we're going to adjust our whole lifestyle around the life of Christ. Tip number 5, enjoy the journey. That last one was pretty intense, wasn't it? Got to balance it here. Enjoy the journey. Richard Foster wrote one of my favorite books on spiritual disciplines. He says that joy is the keynote of the disciplines. Now, they are still disciplines, but joy, if we talked about this in week one, we're all amateurs. We follow Jesus for the love, for the joy set before us. And it's important for us when it comes to doing these kind of things, like implementing changes in our life, to, like adjusting our life, reordering our loves around Christ, to find ways to make it more enjoyable. And that's true of running training as well. Some people are like, oh, you know, I hate running outside. It's so brutal in the wintertime, all that sort of stuff. You can just go on a treadmill. Like if you would, and some people hate the treadmill, and they're like, oh, I'd rather be outside in the cold. Well, just put on a jacket then, you know? Like actually, this is not in the sermon. Here's a quick story though. I grew up in Alaska, and so I run outside a lot in the wintertime, and there's a guy, I've seen him, I think, 2 times now. Maybe you're in the room, maybe you're this person, I don't know, who's like, it's like 27 degrees and snowing outside, and he's wearing like short shorts and nothing else. And he's like, yeah, and I can tell. I'm like, that, you're doing, like you want people to see, anyways. But he runs past me and I've got like my jacket and like the hat and like the gloves and everything. And I'm just like, you can make decisions to make that more or less enjoyable. Does that make sense? That's the point. You don't have to suffer. I mean, there's already, here's the truth. There's already enough discipline and effort and suffering involved in running. You don't have to it's like the whole American no pain, no gain. That's a garbage mindset. I'm here to tell you, that legitimately is a garbage mindset. More pain, more injury, more burnout. When it comes to following Christ, you don't have to unnecessarily make it not enjoyable. And so I hear this all the time. Here's that short shorts in the winter. That's the running metaphor. Here's what it looks like was that helpful? Should I include that in the next service? You get the bonus illustrations. Okay, here's what it looks like in following Christ. I hear this all the time. I'm not a morning person. Pray mid-morning. Pray late in the afternoon. It's like, well, I find it hard to read. You know, I'm a slow reader. Listen to audio Bible. A few years ago, I paid like good money to download like a really good audio Bible app. And I use that thing like crazy. I listen through the whole Bible through that app. Well, it's like, this whole like quiet time, I'm like more like, I'm just a little bit like one of those people I can't sit still. Go for a walk. Right? Be outside in nature. You want to know how Jesus spent time with his Father? Oftentimes, in a beautiful garden or up on a mountaintop. Like, do things, you can decide. You don't have to be like, no spiritual pain, no Christ-like gain. Like, you don't have to do that. You're not getting extra credit. You're not getting extra points for like, Lord, I'll suffer for you at 4 a.m. You can just enjoy being with him at 4 p.m. That's totally fine. And in fact, when you're strategic about it, you're going to do those spiritual disciplines way more consistently. You're going to do them way longer. You're going to enjoy them more. Does that make sense? And I just want to encourage, I want to like release you from any of that kind of legalism that you've maybe carried with you for years. Enjoy it. Amen? Enjoy it. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases Matthew 11:28. He says this. Is an invitation, his words, an invitation from Christ. Walk with me and work with me. It is still work, right? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the invitation of Christ. Does that sound enjoyable? You better believe it's enjoyable. And there's things in that should make it in your rule of life that are disciplines that will be naturally enjoyable. Here's what, I'll just share a little bit, okay? One of my spiritual disciplines under Sabbath is take a long annual vacation. That's fun, right? When it comes to community, once a week, we're going to have either a date night or a family night. That's fun. That's enjoyable, right? There will be disciplines, things that actually are just like you look forward to doing them. There's going to be other things, and let's just get real, like fasting, confessing your sin. Like, there's going to be other things that they're not as naturally enjoyable. They are a little bit more like pure discipline, but here's the thing. Even about those, the longer that you do those, the more you will find joy and freedom and the easy yoke and the light burden of Christ in those things. Has anyone experienced that before? The longer you pursue even the difficult disciplines, the more you'll find, even in those, there is joy. All right. Number six, the last one. Trust the process. You hear this in training all the time. Trust the process. And here's why you have to be reminded to trust the process. Is because it may feel like you're getting worse before you get better. It may feel like at times two steps backwards, one step forward. And so you have to be committed to the process. You have to trust the process. In Hebrews 12, 11, this is right in that chapter where we get this dominant metaphor, run the race with endurance that's set before you, right? That's the first couple verses of Hebrews 12. Later on in Hebrews 12, 11, it says this, for the moment, like in the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Isn't that true? In the moment, it's just so hard, it feels painful, but later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, we might say godliness, to those who have been what? Who've been trained by it. What's the author of Hebrews saying? Trust the process. It's not about acquiring new Christian skills and behaviors. It's about becoming like Christ. And I want to encourage you with this. Maybe if you've been discouraged, two steps backwards, one step forwards. If you continue to follow Jesus, it's a work that he's going to do in you. You're going to see the fruit. You're going to start to see the fruit. In Philippians 1:6, it says, and I'm sure of this. There's a certainty in the Apostle Paul's life. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So would you let God do his work in you? Would you let the Holy Spirit do his work in you? And I'll tell you this, if you do, you won't regret it. Let's stand and worship him.
Thanks for tuning in to the Hill City Church podcast. You can find out more about our church at hillcityboise.org. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hill City Boise. We hope this teaching has encouraged you and helps you follow Jesus with everything.